Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to NABWIC Talks Radio. We have a very exciting guest with us this morning. And just for all our listeners out there, if you would also like to call in later in the show to ask our guest, Ms. Gloria Shealy, a question, you can call in at 714-459-3918 and press 1. But until then, what we're going to do is we're going to start our interview with Ms. Gloria Carney Shealy. And just to give everyone an idea of who she is a native of North Carolina. She holds a bachelor's in political science and a master's of public administration and housing and urban development from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And she was recently selected as a North Carolina Fellow. So in addition, Gloria is also known for her integrity, professionalism, strategic thinking and planning and execution, and the ability to engage issues and identify effective solutions. Her competitive experience in structuring, managing, and completing a variety of construction projects reflects her ability to implement projects for conception to completion through critical need assessments, scheduling, and budget management. And I'm also excited to let everyone know that Ms. Shealy was the first woman president to be elected to the National American Minority Contractors Association in its 43-year history. So that's who we will be speaking with today on NABWIC Talks Radio. And if you would like to call in, you can call in at 714-459-3918. And you can also go to nabwic.org and follow the link to Blog Talk Radio. So that's NABWIC.org and follow the link to Blog Talk Radio, and you'd also be able to listen to the live broadcast. So without any further ado, I'd like to open the line to speak with Ms. Gloria Shealy. Ms. Shealy, how are you this morning?
I'm fine. Thank you, Marissa.
That's great. We're very excited to have you on Blog Talks Radio this morning. And you're very welcome. To get started, let's start with our first question that we have here for you today. And it's probably something that all of our guests are interested in now that you are the president and CEO of the DL Company. And as I mentioned earlier, you've just been recently elected the first women president of the National Association of Minority Contractors. So someone might have the idea, well, how did it all happen for you? And how long have you been in the construction business?
But thank you again. It's a pleasure to have the opportunity to participate in the program with you this morning and with NABWIC. Had an opportunity to meet a number of the ladies, and so we appreciate the link in terms of relationship. Construction business is my life at this point, and I have been involved since the early 80s. I started out in the area of the Midwest in Chicago, and really got convinced about banking at that time and was not aware that there was a commercial real estate finance department as sophisticated as it was, and really became intrigued by that. Was made an offer, accepted, and got involved. I was young, eager, energetic, and excited about the idea of understanding how major center banks' flow of money worked, and particularly in construction. We financed developers primarily who built major office complexes, subdivisions of multifamily housing, retail components, condominiums, et cetera. And so that was my initiation into the world of commercial real estate and construction, and got the bug. And with getting the bug, we launched out to be involved as an entrepreneur and launched out as a developer, saw all that I had experienced over a 10-year period of time, and made a family and business decision that we could do this. I'm not sure I would recommend starting out as a developer, but over that time frame of launching out in the late 80s, I have transitioned from being a developer to a general contractor, to a construction manager, as well as a consultant in many areas for nonprofits, and has been the launching pad for the Danielle Company. So we have been involved in this industry for much of my adult life.
Okay. And as president and CEO of the Danielle Company, what are the primary services that your business offers?
As I indicated, we are construction managers and general contractors, and the areas that we focus on is higher education, healthcare, as well as manufacturing has become a major growth area for us, including pharmaceutical manufacturing, automotive manufacturing, and aviation manufacturing. In addition, we do electrical supply as well. And so those are the targeted areas where we seek to ground our expertise. We are currently serving the area of North and South Carolina.
And you mentioned earlier that you caught the bug, and I also have to ask you, what do you love about construction?
I really have a passion to see land or structures transformed from whatever the concept that the owner has into reality. So we see ourselves as transforming visions into reality and being able to see the end product and, you know, just going through that process, which can be very difficult to get to the end product. But I'm very passionate and love to see that transformation and be a part of that transformation and have the client at the end of the day excited about the end product that we were able to provide. I'd like to be able to touch, feel, see the things that I do, and construction is one of the areas where you have to touch, feel, and see in order to deliver the product.
That's exactly right. We're like manufacturing right in front of everyone's eyes. We're totally exposed in construction. Everyone sees the product as it's being built. So with that love, it comes challenges, I'm sure. So what are the most challenging aspects of your business?
I would say initially establishing the right team and the credibility in the marketplace to perform and deliver. In coming to North Carolina, we had a good history and a good track record, but it was not in North Carolina. So being able to sell and translate the experiences that we had to this marketplace was very difficult, but we took the position of continue to do so, that we pursue relationships, not projects. So the strategy was to begin to identify the key major contractors that we felt shared the same core values, and we had competencies that we could bring to the relationship, and felt that the residual benefit to us would be a long-term relationship, and it was the way in which we would enter that conversation and that dialogue, and that has worked very successfully for us. So coming into a new market was difficult. Today, I would say the greatest challenge is managing the recovery of the economic downturn and managing having the right people in the right place with the right project opportunities as a flow, so that you are able to keep those people and managing the cash flow to sustain the operations.
That's exactly right. So just for everyone calling in, you are listening to NABWIC Talks Radio, and you can also later on in the show ask a question by pressing 1 on your telephone. And also, too, you can go to NABWIC.org, so that's the National Association of Black Women in Construction, NABWIC.org, and also follow the link to Blog Talk Radio if you want to listen to us, the live broadcast, that way. And, Gloria, just before coming on, I had asked you about the Danielle Company. You are president and CEO of the Danielle Company. And I asked you, how did you come up with the name for your company? Would you like to share that answer with us now?
Okay. I have to give the credit to my husband and partner in that regard, although we have a different story, but I'm sticking with mine. Everyone is familiar with Wendy's and Sara Lee, and those are children of very successful companies. And so we wanted to follow a successful tradition. And the name Danielle is the name of our youngest daughter, who is heir apparent to the company and was born into this business and is involved in many ways with us as we are grooming her. But the company's namesake is Aisha Danielle Sheely, who is our youngest daughter.
Okay, excellent, excellent. So that's great. That's a nice family story. And it's following that trend that works with the Wendy's model. So that's excellent. So what advice would you give to others who want to start a construction business?
There are a number of things. And this is hard work, and this is a tough business, so it's not for everyone. So I would first say if you do not have a passion for construction or any particular trade within construction, this may not be the path for you. But if you do, then the first thing that I would say is prepare exhaustively. Make sure that you have done your homework and your due diligence in terms of the market that you're looking to serve in terms of the area of expertise that you see as your niche. Identify where the resources are for that. Organize for excellence in the workflows and the processes that you will need, and put the right people in the right place. And once you sort of get those pieces together, make sure you've got on the front end, you've built in an abundant capital resource base or cash flow base that allows you to do the groundwork before you get that first contract. And once you do, you want to make sure that you are prepared to execute flawlessly and consistently and glean from the best practices of other successful companies. You do not need to recreate the wheel. There are many that have been in this business and been in it for a long time successfully. So glean from them. And then, make a policy that you're going to exceed expectations. The way that you get additional business is aligned with how you've done on the last project that you completed. And you want to always strategize to anticipate the unexpected or, be strategic in responding to the unexpected. In construction, things happen, always. It never goes perfectly. So you want to always anticipate as much as possible, but when you find yourself having to resolve a situation or an issue, you want to be strategic and very responsive in how you address that. Make sure that you've got a great support network around you. This is a industry that requires a lot of hands and minds to be involved, to be successful, and so having a team attitude and approach and being able to pull all the different pieces that you need to have in play is very, very important in understanding what those are.
Great. I appreciate those points. Having that team attitude is essential in construction because it doesn't take one person. It takes an entire team to get any structure built, and everyone has their different areas of expertise, and I enjoy the point of organize for excellence. That sets a mindset starting early on. The flawless execution that you brought out is essential. Best practices and learning from what's been done before is essential, and anticipating what things can come up. So I appreciate those points. I just wanted to review them because I felt that they were important for those that are listening, because we also, NABWIC, also reaches out to young women in construction who are looking to come into those businesses, in this business rather, and those points to share with us into how to navigate this industry they are particularly important. So I just kind of wanted to highlight them. And also too, so you've been in this business for quite some time, and what trends do you see in the industry?
But we have and are experiencing some unprecedented times with the economic downturn and coming out of that. And I do believe that we're coming out of that, but it's reshaping how we do business. And we won't see business as it was done in the past. It has become much more technology-driven as a tool to managing projects, from the various construction software for managing your documentation to managing your budgets and your schedule. And so that element has become much more sophisticated than in the past and has become a natural part of managing your work. Also, we have to – I've seen a much more strategic competitiveness in the market as it relates to cost and people resources, while the owners are still looking for best value. And best value is not necessarily the least cost, but they're still wanting to get the least cost, but the best value. And best value relates to those systems and processes to deliver your handle on the technology that's required, and having the right people resources in place, you know, people who have the experience in the particular area of construction. And also there's a market orientation to specialty expertise. So when you are competing for a particular project, they want to know, have you built a hospital before, as an example, and how many and in what similar size and scope to the project that they have in place. And so that has become much more of a focus. Also, we're seeing that owners are seeking to create a platform of inclusion that represents the demographics of the community in which they reside. Some are more seasoned and mature in that process. Some are not quite there. Some are just getting started. And so part of what helps to make the business case for the major contractors is being able to bring the inclusion to the bid process, to the response to proposal. And part of our value proposition as diverse contractors is that we make sure that we have those elements in place, that we can bring expertise, that we do have some knowledge in terms of the technology, and that we have a record of success in that particular area. And so that's the market is really honing in on a qualified network of contractors to deliver the projects that you see. Certainly, the cost fluctuations are there in terms of the economy, and so what you found was a shrinking, sort of an expansion and shrinking of who your competition in the marketplace might be. Where before you had major contractors that stayed within a certain large global dollar amount, what you found when the market sort of turned and there were fewer opportunities, they then leaped over to the smaller project, which as a result squeezed out a number of the smaller contractors, small and medium contractors, because they couldn't be as competitive with a major contractor that had all the resources that any client would desire, but at a much lower cost because they had the economy of scale. That's beginning to balance itself out a little bit.
That's a very interesting take on the economics of the whole industry. And so just in keeping with that thought in terms of economics and how things are functioning in the industry, economically speaking, how has the economic turndown affected minority contracting companies?
Unfortunately, negatively for many, in that the access to capital literally dried up. It was already challenged before. Access to insurance, to bonding, because of the credit constraints, where it was challenging before, it was non-existent. And there is small measure moving back towards some opening, but it is requiring a much stronger balance sheet And so it's almost a catch-22. So if you have the ability to show a strong balance sheet, then you don't need the, you know, you don't need the capital or the financial resources. So many were not prepared. Many did not have the the additional reserves. And even if they did have the reserves, no one could anticipate how long you needed to be able to stand. No one anticipated how you needed to change change the strategy in which you went to bid for projects. Didn't anticipate the new influx of out-of-town or out-of-state companies into the marketplace. So unless you had a strong infrastructure, many were squeezed out of the marketplace. Many can no longer be competitive. Some went out of business for what I call buying the business, buying the bid, and that means then that you are either, because the margins were reduced, you're either bidding at cost or less, and no one can be profitable or sustain themselves in that regard. So it had a negative impact in particular on the diverse community. So we lost some. But we didn't lose everyone, but we did lose some. And I think that there is a platform that we're beginning to see that folks are, you know, rebuilding and recovering.
So in all of that, the Danielle Company is a minority-owned business. How do you think you were able to survive in such an economy?
I think a primary benefit to us was our approach of relationships, so that where we were not doing what we call one-offs, we were very selective about which relationships we engaged, and we were very selective even within those relationships which projects that made sense for us. So we had a willingness to say no, but we also had demonstrated our capability and capacity early on, which allowed us to build that pipeline. And we were able to successfully build that pipeline. Certainly when the change, the economic downturn came, that pipeline, you know, at a point towards the end became very, very slim. And we did the same things that everyone else did, because we could see it gave us a little bit longer window, not much, but just a little bit longer window to reset by streamlining, and streamlining for excellence. That meant if both streamlining, you know, expenses or costs, but also streamlining people resources, because we knew that in order for us to be continue to be competitive, we had to take out some of the excess. So mediocrity has never been acceptable for us. But if you were on borderline between excellence and mediocrity, we no longer had that luxury. You had to be excellent. And so we drew the line and reset and began to retool with some of the right people that we needed. And so that was very, very helpful. But having the long-term relationship where the repeat business, so to speak, was built in, based on our ability to nurture and deliver, allowed us to sustain. And we're all continuing to recover, just like everyone else. We're in recovery mode. We've been very, very fortunate. We're, you know, on the uptick, and you know, God has been good and blessed us. But it has been with great challenge for us, just like everyone else.
So having that relationship base is sounds like it was definitely essential for your organization. But as a leader in the industry, how do you see your role as a leader in the construction industry?
I've always viewed, and I've been involved in construction, as I said, most of my adult life, and have been in leadership probably for the last half of that time directly in the community. And I've always seen that role as one as a servant leader, and that part of my charge is to, for the benefits and the successes that we have been so fortunate to have, to be able to share that with others so that they might also be successful, to help set a path to reach out both up and down and side by side to others to share those things that we have seen have allowed us to be successful that might be beneficial to others, and to be able to take those emerging companies, those folks that are seeking to step into this arena, to look at them and offer wisdom, be able to offer, help them navigate through the channels of the bid process. So for me, it is about serving the community that we are a part of, so that we can build a stronger base collectively, because this is not an individual, world that we live in. It's very much a global world, and it's very much interconnected. And so my view of everything that I do in leadership is about service, and that applies to our company. We've always had an attitude of service. Certainly we're in the business to make money just like everyone else, but the bottom line is to serve our clients. And for us, our clients are not just the owners, the stakeholders who hold the contract, but it's the craftspeople, because they're the ones that are physically on the ground in their respective trades making it happen.
Okay, excellent. It looks like I'm just going to pause just for a moment. It looks like we have a question coming up, and I'm just appreciate actually your willingness to reach back to the community, because that is something that we appreciate, because individuals trying to start in the organization of construction, sometimes they're not quite sure where to start, and you being a leader and willing to reach back helps us, you know, all who want to get into the construction industry and stay into the construction industry, because they can share from your experiences. So we definitely appreciate having that built into your business model as well as into your own confidence and creed. We do appreciate that, speaking for NABWIC as well as the construction industry. But earlier we mentioned that you are now recently the president of the National Association of Minority Contractors, and wanted to ask, in connection with that, what do you want to accomplish during your tenure at that national level?
Well, we have established a strategic plan, and that's been, and I've had an opportunity to lead some of that vision of that plan, and it is very, very simple and basic, and it is to have the cross-linked paths, help develop those paths. We talked about collaboration, we talked about teamwork, but to develop those paths that lay the foundation for helping our marketplace at the local and regional levels understand and know how to pursue, execute, and how to pursue, win, and execute business. Because it's not enough to figure out how to pursue it and how to get it. If you don't deliver it, then you will not set yourself up for success. And so that's a message that we're taking. There are many, as I said, paths to accomplishing that. And so we want to create those business and job contract opportunities and help facilitate that. But by doing so with a knowledge base and a qualified network, and everyone understanding, you know, sort of where you are and building those relationships, to be able to begin to have that groundswell by at the national level touching the local and regional levels is very important to me in terms of what I'd like to accomplish. It is not an overnight sensation. It will take the strategic initiatives that we've laid put in place, the operational strategies for that, and a host of stakeholders, contractors, public relationships that will allow us to be successful. And if we make a difference in just, you know, a small way, that's a seed that can grow and build, to be built upon. Because this is about legacy. This is not about lifestyle. This is about building wealth within our communities. This is about economic inclusion.
Exactly. Appreciate that point that you just made there. So in our closing question, we talked about everything that you've accomplished, being the president and CEO of the Danielle Company and various other awards that you've received, as well as being recently nominated the president of the National Association of Minority Contractors. So with doing all that, how do you manage family, work, community leader? How do you find that balance, as our closing question?
It's always important to have that quiet time that allows you to reset whatever that is for you. And for me, it's prayer. For me, it's the quiet moments in the morning. It's being able to walk and refresh and think. But it's also not seeing those elements as independent component parts. They're all integrated. So, you know, early in life, as a mother, you know, rearing a child, I included her. I took her with me to meetings, to the construction site. I had the flexibility to do that, whether it's to a leadership meeting, with an organizational meeting. It is also important to have some frames around your work ethics, not working 24/7. Knowing that you have to give that time back to your family and being able to understand what the minimums are and what's most important to you. It is certainly a juggling act as well sometimes. Unfortunately, I'm at a place in my life where I have flexibility. Everybody's out of the house. It's my husband and I. He has been involved with the business from day one because it is a family business. And so he understands the requirements, although now I'm more out of the house in the business things that I'm doing. And so he's a very he's an excellent support to me in that regard, and a safe place, comfortable place to come back to, because I relish being at home as well. So it is one that you have to know just where you are with yourself and your life and what your minimums are, what your maximums are, and that's part of the knowing you, and knowing where your needs are and being able to express those, and reaching out for the support that you require. Not being too shy or too independent to ask as well.
That's an excellent, excellent point. Well, the National Association of Black Women in Construction thanks you for being our guest this morning, and we do invite you to come back at any time. And do you have any closing remarks for us?
I would say that one of the things that I've shared with some of our members and to some of our partners is that we are at a place in our lives and in the country, in the economics of the time, that we really must understand that collaboration is strategically necessary and mutually beneficial to each of us in our success going forward, and that this is about legacy, and that this is about building wealth within our communities, and we cannot do that unless we do that together. And so I look forward to the continued collaboration with NABWIC and with others, and so that we can set the path and the model for the next generation. Thank you so very much for allowing me an opportunity to share some of my thoughts in that regard.
Now, you're most certainly welcome. And just for everyone, just so that they know, they can go to NABWIC.org, and they can also, because this show will be archived to listen in future times, and also so for future reference, it can also get there by going to nabwic.org. So we're going to close our show today, and I hope you all have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.